Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Some of you have seen me in green today. According to our webmaster, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm sitting in a football stadium, and if you're watching it on any other platform, just so you guys understand technology and how technology works, I had a friend of mine say to me, I come on sometimes jokingly and say my multi-million dollar studio, and it isn't at all. But what you see behind me, if you're not watching on YouTube, is what they call a green screen. And it's This is what they use in all of media. When you see people, for the most part, when people are on the scene of some type of an event that's going on, we have a shooting today down in Dallas, and they're on the scene. A lot of times, what you see behind them is just a green screen, and they play video and stuff behind the reporter. She talks. She's not on scene. Well, that's what we have behind me. I don't have a real stadium behind here. This is Rob's green screen. I have a green screen in my own studio. And through the technology, the miracle of technology, Mike Heath is sitting right now in Mount Airy, North Carolina, with Jared, his son, looking over his shoulder, waving at us. And they're the ones who put the images up on the screen and do all that stuff. Technology is – see, that's what ticks me off. Is it? Can I get ticked off? I need a shave. I know that. Can I get ticked off here? How are we losing? How are we losing this battle, folks? It's just we have technological geniuses like Jared, and I can name a bunch of other guys that can they can do anything. Said, Coach, well, hey, let me I'm gonna log on to your computer, and somehow they do that. Next thing I know, my mouse is rolling around on my side. How'd you do that? Well, we have this program we go to. Well, what program? I don't know, this program here. And we have all this technology, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us, and we seem to be impotent. That's my greatest frustration. It's like watching a quarterback play bad. I can't even hardly. Dave Klontz, my old buddy Dave Klontz, he told me, he gave me a line that I've never ever forgotten as a coach. Listen, church, okay? Dave said that you will lose more games than you will ever win. And I thought about that for a minute. I said, what? He says, yeah. He says, you will lose more games through your own mistakes than the other team will ever win. You lose games. The other team doesn't win them. You lose them. You make mistakes. You miss tackles. You drop balls. You jump off sides. Rarely do you get into a football game where the other team just where everybody played mistake-free and the other team was just better. That hardly ever happens, friends. You lose games. We lose games. God's people lose games. Pick any issue you want to. Did the homosexual mafia, did they win the marriage debate? Or did we lose it? Did a homosexual indoctrination in our schools, did that happen because we lost the fight? Did they win the fight or we lose? We forfeited. We didn't even show up. The whole issue of divorce. Remember, divorce, it used to be against the law to get a divorce. Did we lose that? Did they just have a better argument and they just punched their argument through? Or did we lose? Did the devil win? Or did we lose? And you'll never convince me that we lose. The weapons of our warfare, the scripture tells us, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That sounds, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That sounds to me like an impervious, undefeatable game plan. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a victory march, man. Well, how come we lose so much? Because we don't execute the game plan. See, oh, really, that's not that important. Did God really say? Did God really say, put your children in public school? Did he really say that? Did God really say, don't homeschool because you have to, one of you have to quit your job? Oh, you may lose your children, but they'll have nice cars. You'll wake up and they'll go off to college at age 19. They'll come home. You won't even know them. But you'll be able to pay the bill rather than doing the hard thing. Just the simple hard thing. I tell people that all the time. I said, this is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We've so dropped the ball in so many things. I get up every morning. I'm not a doom and gloomer because I always know we're going to win. I'm crazy enough to think, I think we're going to win right now. I think we're going to win now. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about here this morning. But I can promise you this. I promise you this. If we lose, it won't be because the other team was better. It's because our team, the marching band, refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the church quit playing, or whatever that song would be? So bye bye, Miss American Pie. We quit. We didn't engage. We lost. They did not win. I just saw Portia's came in there. Portia, we've been praying for you, dear. Portia's boyfriend, for those of you who don't know, she's just a faithful listener up in Akron, Canton, Ohio area. Her boyfriend had a horrific accident at work. In fact, you could go there. I think the Akron Beacon Journal, the story's in there. He's was working on a high wire, those poles, doing some painting, and his ladder went out from under him or whatever. His ladder fell about 15 feet, and he grabbed a hold of a wire down on the way down, a live wire on the way down, hit the ground, fractured his hip. A lot of other surgery stuff going on. The power substation. Thanks, Portia. How's he doing this morning, dear? Are you able to come in and tell us? I can't say. Is there anything we can do? I mean, certainly all. Only thing we can do is pray for you. And folks, I just pray that you'd continue to do that. Portia's in here every day, just faithful as can be. And that's a huge burden. Anything we, Portia, you don't have to come in. You may be someplace you can't talk. Just want you to know, everybody out there, be praying for her, lifting her up. Let me do some thank yous here. I've been here 4 days. Can I tell you something? Those of you who wonder, ministry is a drag sometimes. This has been really, really a blessing because Michelle and I got to spend some really good, quiet, intimate time with Rob and Lisa Pugh. And, you know, sometimes we're just like ships that pass through the night. We spent all day yesterday with them up on a beautiful lake and just had a good time. But it drains you, folks. You know, as I said, we're in Wisconsin. It's a different time zone. I go to bed at night. I try to, I set my alarm, but I never sleep well because I'm wondering, I'm an hour ahead. I'm an hour behind. What time is it? And I think guys like Jeff Nell get up every morning. It's probably 4 o'clock where he is. So, I'm not complaining, but it does wear us out. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time with the event that Rob put together up here. Rained all day. It's awful. We're trying to do shooting and all that. Rained all day. We had a magnificent crowd. We were in an old barn. We tried to, it's just great. It's just great. I don't know how many we had, 50, 60, 70 people. I don't know. Neil and Mary Leiby, they're the ones that owned the property, Mary's Barn. And they were such, my goodness, just such great hosts and hostess. And they taught a class on generators. You guys know anything about generators? Well, I know a little bit more about them now and how to power your house. Generators. There was one on cooking. There was a pistols, and there was rifles, and Jamie Walden and his crew, my God, Chad Estes, Chad taught his heart out, man, and is really, really good. It was just really, really good. I got to see Ray LeBlanc. Ray and Jane came down. And just a lot of other really, really forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Go, you know, we've been saying for a while, there's really something going on. There is really, really, really something going on. There's an awakening. And I'm excited about coming up here on our October event, Sky High. I'm going to tell you this. If you don't register today, you aren't getting in. I hate to be mean. You're not getting in. And we just added a new feature this just yesterday. David Paxton's going to come, and he's going to teach drones, how to fly drones, how they operate. He offered his class when we were out in Missouri a couple of weeks ago with Jamie Walden. It was fantastic. And so he's going to be offering that class as well. Another great thing that you can pick up on. So I'm giving you fair warning. We're bare bones with space 2 weeks out. So if you want to come and be part of it, you need to get in there. I'm looking down. Anything else there? Mary Lou, maybe made some notes. The calendar. We're going to Mount Airy, Mayberry RFD this weekend. Mike, can you speak about that a little bit? Or Polly, somebody can just tell us a little bit what's going on, how people get involved there?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We've got I think we've got 25 adults and a bunch of kids. You're bringing your whole family, I think. Mm-hmm. And planning to do some signs at Preacher's Corner right on Main Street, America. Going to do some shooting indoors so we won't have to worry about rain. And Bobby Lee's going to be teaching us how to be intentional whenever we're confronted in an instant so that we're not running and hiding and being soy boys. And we're also going to learn about Jeb Stuart, the cavalry, the great Confederate cavalry general who led his cavalry all the way around the Union Army on the day of Gettysburg. And then, of course, the following weekend, Coach, we're going to be at Gettysburg.
Yep.
Learning from those guys.
And also that next weekend, Chad's having his annual, so yeah, I'm spread trying to get a couple places. The highlight of everything, folks, is you can go lay in Barney Fife's jail. If you go to Mount Airy, that's Andy Griffith's hometown, and so they have a little replica jail and all that kind of stuff there. So you can go in and get your picture taken where Otis the drunk was and Barney, and that stuff's all available. That's coming up. That's, you know, it's crazy. We went 6 months with no place to go, and now all of a sudden people are going places. And some pushbacks starting to come. I've got some good stuff to talk about today. Let me shut up here for a minute. And see what's going on out there in the weeds. Anybody got anything? Larry, what's going on with what it is that you're trying to do? Anybody else got anything they want to make us aware of? Come on in.
Well, we're making progress on the stop forced vaccination efforts. More and more people are attending the phone call meetings that we have and getting the basics of the plan. And, you know, it's important that we all work off the same sheet of music. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of folks that even after coming to the phone call, they still want to do things their own way and don't think that they have a need to do what
our plan is. Don't criticize. Just say they're not in there, whatever reason.
No, I'm not criticizing. I'm stating facts.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it doesn't want to make people want to be part of it. Just say the ones that come. The ones that don't come.
It's just a shame that so many people say they want to help, but then they only want to help if it's their idea. That's okay. That's the way it is. We're going to work with what we have.
20% of the population was for the American Revolution, Larry. It's just kind of the way things are, man. Yeah. Don't take it personally.
Now, 1% of the people can change this country. 0.5% can if we get together.
Yep. I'm with you. Anybody else? Anything for the good of the group here this morning? No. I went silent all of a sudden. Are we still?
Hey, Coach?
Yeah, Vinny.
I'm sure you're going to talk about cuties sometime today.
Brother, I got a whole lot of stuff on there. Well, let's do that right now, Vinny. Mike, I don't know if you can find that. I did not have that on the list of things to talk about. But are you guys aware? Is it Netflix, Vinny? Netflix?
Is that what it is?
I don't follow that stuff, right? Netflix. Folks, Mike, you can probably find that. Netflix has produced a show. What do you call it? Would you call it a show? might go to the official trailer. I think if you go back a page, maybe you can see it. Oh, there it is. Okay. It's it's pedophilia, my friends. It's pedophilia. And people are beginning to rise up and push back against it. But, it's crazy, isn't it, that they would have the gall to do that? Why would they have the gall to do that? Because of exactly what I said. We lose, they don't win. We don't fight, they win. Now, we'd say, well, who could ever think that they would do something like this? Well, they do stuff like this because there's no enforcement of anything. Nobody pushes back. The good does not stand up to be counted. And as a result, Netflix puts out this thing called Cuties. And by the way, Vinny, I saw that they lost like $9 billion in stock value when people began to see what they're producing. Unbelievable. I have not watched this trailer, Mike, but we want to play. Folks, they are teaching young girls pole dancing and all that kind of stuff. And they think it's all ha. It's just, these are just cuties. It's just cuties, right? And it's so stinking wicked. And it leads to pedophilia. And we know right now in the state of California, they are loosening the laws on pedophilia. I'm sure you saw that, did you? No, probably didn't see that, right? Probably it's coming our way. And I'm going to, why shouldn't little young girls be allowed to have some man do something to them down there? If it feels good, who are we to tell them what they can do with their own bodies? Yeah, maybe they're not mature enough yet, but they'll learn. It's their body. It's their choice. We have lost our stinking minds. Mike, go ahead and play this if you can. I don't even know if this is the, I think it is. This is the exclusive trailer.
Mais qu'est-ce que c'est que ça? Il se passe quoi là? Vous faisiez quoi à la guerre?
On va danser au concours.
Je danse avec vous. Quoi?
Oh mais les gens sont graves, tu fais que tu vois tous les likes qu'on a eu?
Vous savez où passe l'esprit du mal? Ce sont ces femmes dénudées
pour le mariage de ton père.
Regarde comme elle te va.
Tu es une femme maintenant.
Ami!
T'étais où là? T'as foutu quoi?
J'étais en retard.
En retard?
Je suis désolée.
Me dis pas.
Non.
Tu l'as volé?
Oh la déglingue, j'y crois pas!
À quoi tu joues là, Ami? Qui es-tu, Ami?
Escoulez l'eau, ma chérie. Dépêchez ses faces avec.
Vous avez quel âge?
14. Yeah. Cuties on Netflix. Teaches them how to be pole dancers and strippers and sexualizes and pedophilia. Oh, God, what's happened to us? Yeah.
I read a little bit about, I didn't even see the trailer. I don't have Netflix, any of that garbage, whatever, but they spent, you ready for this, 6 months interviewing or reviewing girls for those parts. Hundreds of girls. So it wasn't just the ones that we're seeing in the movie now, but the girls that they had gyrating in front of these full grown men to pick out the parts went on for 6 months. My question, and I'll throw that out there, these frickin' parents need to be arrested.
Well, here's the problem we run into, Dale. I agree with you, by the way, on that. The problem we run into, as soon as we allow the government to intervene against what we see to be evil parenting, the next thing we know, because the church doesn't ever do anything, Hillary Clinton becomes president, and she changes the definition of evil, and the definition of evil becomes teaching your children about the Bible and about the creationism, and then all of a sudden they're arresting us for that. So I'm with you, Dale. I'm with you. But see, we don't have any standard. Why don't we have any standard? I can tell you why. Because we lose more games than we ever win. We don't even try to win these battles. It comes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago or last week, the whole idea of seven mountains. Oh, we shouldn't be involved. We shouldn't try to bring the Lord's kingdom here on earth. No. It's just foolishness. Pull up John MacArthur there. John MacArthur. Again, I'm not beating on John MacArthur. Somebody do me a real quick favor, Mike. Maybe you, or somebody searching out. How old is John MacArthur? Anybody know? I saw Charles Stanley just step down out of the pulpit. I like Charles Stanley, right? But folks, once we begin to follow these, you guys know what I'm talking about. Follow these TV preachers. We don't get a real feel for what's going on. Portia, thank you.
Stanley came out against John MacArthur for doing what he was doing out there.
It's amazing, isn't it? Portia just put up there, John MacArthur is 79 years old. 79. I better be careful what I say, because I'll be 79 here in 12 years. And we certainly respect people, and we respect their longevity and their wisdom that comes with the years. 79 years old. And still, well, Joe Biden, 77. Right? We got all these soon-to-be octogenarians. That's a big word I learned. Over 80 people, they're in positions of authority. And God bless John MacArthur. But 80? 79 years old? Still doing church service? Does that sound ageist? Or some? There's got to be some adjective for that. But can't pass the torch to a younger guy? What? What? Anyway.
Oh, there's no younger guys want to hold it. My dad's still preaching at 90.
Huh. You're right, Jack. There's probably some guys that don't want to hold it. That's a good point.
Little comment there on there ought to be a law. I cringe. I literally cringe every time somebody says, well, there ought to be a law. They ought to make a new law.
Yeah.
We got enough laws. Let's go back to the 10 great laws so we don't have to have a million, two million, 3 million new laws to cover the ones that we ignored.
Amen, Jack.
Yeah, my comment was definitely, I never said anything about making a new law.
We're with you,
Coach. I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with the older in that position, because there's such great wisdom there. The problem is that they're wanting controlling of all the works that are underneath them. Instead of looking at them and saying, go out and get it done. When you were talking to Larry about the petition things or whatever, it the motto in the church is like, everybody's got great ideas, but they want the pastor to do it. No, the pastor says, oh, that's a great idea. You're in charge of it. Bingo, you're it. That's what needs to take place, is get these young bucks involved.
That's right. Give them assignments and let them go do them. Yep.
Coach, there's three words. Now, I've listened to John MacArthur for years and years, and by golly, he's done great stuff.
Yes.
If he had said three words, he would have pulled in so many young people that would have said, wow, this guy's real. All they had to say was, I was wrong.
Yes, sir.
If he had said that, so many people would have said, wow, this guy is real.
Yeah, Jack, instead he said, and I'm not, listen, God bless John MacArthur. Mm-hmm. He said situations have changed, right? He said, because the situations have changed, now we need to push back, see?
Right.
So, that's it.
Wrong.
He didn't say what Jack said. He should have said, I was wrong. Yep. I was wrong.
Because
situational ethics in the church.
It's because it's touching his church. If it never touched his church, he would still be bound on that Romans 13, submit to the authority.
That's right. So let me give you some good news here before I play this little clip. I spoke to our attorney. Portia said she's wrong. John MacArthur's 81. 81. Thanks, Portia. Our attorney, Tom Condit, because you know we're trying to put together a legal team, and Tom's the one that's heading up the legal team. I spoke to Tom yesterday. Alicia, our dear friend Alicia, whose court date is today, is going to have her case dropped. How about that? Her case is going to be dropped. And without Tom Condit and our legal team, she would have paid about a $400 fine and would have had a trespassing charge on her record because she didn't have the ability to be able to defend herself. So how about that? Alicia, today, the lawyers do negotiations behind the scenes, right? They do negotiations. I'm going to tell you this. The Columbus PD, as far as my experience is, the prosecutor doesn't drop charges. They don't drop charges. Because when they drop charges, it exposes them to litigation. Meaning, well, why did you arrest her then? Why'd you arrest her? So they don't like to do that, right? They don't like to do that. But they are dropping charges with Portia today. Is that, that's a victory, man. Not Portia, I'm sorry. With Alicia, Portia's name popped up on my screen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. So back to what you were saying before, they didn't win, we lost. So is that really a win or is that really a draw?
Well, it's a draw if we don't move forward from here, if you know what I mean. If we just let it lay where it is, it's a draw, right?
Yep.
But again, the point I'm making, thank God for Tom. And okay, so let me, Mike Blake. Mike Blake's supposed to show up in court today, and there's been an out-of-court thing reached in Mike's case, too. I'm not going to say anything too in-depth about it because, you know, it hasn't exactly been executed yet. But Mike has a greatly reduced charge that he's going to plead guilty to. And again, Tom said, listen, the thing they're going to charge him with, you know, technically he probably did. So he said, you know, we can't work miracles here, but the greatest charge out the window, not going to be charged. That's two victories, folks. Two victories right there. And then tomorrow, what goes on? Johnny Tuttle shows up in court tomorrow. Tom Condit's going to be standing right there with him. We have to start doing this stuff.
Coach, because you're in Wisconsin, you can't see it, but the Christian Defense Fund page, the GoFundMe that you asked us to create, is up there. We've raised $440 without even trying.
Right.
Your goal is $20,000. Just wanted to mention that so people can see that. So it's at GoFundMe, Christian Defense Fund. Mm-hmm. Also want to mention that Tom is sending a letter to Federal Express. We're asking him for $50,000.
So. Awesome. Folks, listen. I don't know any other way to do it. People say, people are always asking for money. Well, I have to ask for money because Alicia can't. How can Mike Blake ask? Where does Mike Blake go to get help? Go to his local church? Is his local church going to help him? Who's going to help him? So you say, well, coach, you're always, well, yeah, I am asking for money because we got our thumbs in a lot of different dikes. We're trying to do a lot of different dikes. And isn't it amazing that when you go to court in city court in Columbus, Ohio, you pay the prosecutor to prosecute you. They take your tax dollars and charge you and fight against you, and you don't have any way to defend yourself. I don't know what you think. I think that stinks. And we put Tom Condit on the case. One's totally dropped. The next one reduced charges, and Johnny Tuttle will win again tomorrow. And then where do we go from that? Well, we have to regroup and figure out. Mike, he's helping win with Mike's case. Has Mike won his case yet? No, he hasn't. But at least why do we lose? Because we don't play. We lose because we don't fight. We lose because they don't win. We lose. With me? So there it is. You want to throw some money that way?
I also wanted to mention that that Tom is sending a letter to the FBI. You know, you were visited by the FBI, and your response was to go to Hillary Clinton's thing, and we did the Equal Justice Tour. Tom is sending a letter to the FBI here in North Carolina because of their visit to me. We're going to be demanding to see the statutes that authorize their visit.
Awesome.
And so,
folks, does this stuff get done if you have to dig into your own pocket?
I wouldn't even know where to begin, Coach. I don't know.
Wouldn't even know. And so, what we want to do is we want to put Tom on a sort of like a, what do they call that? A retainer. To say, hey, Tom, got this issue. Got it, Coach. I'm on top of it. We'll win a lot of these things.
One other thing to mention. Tom hasn't charged. He's not charging.
Doesn't charge a penny. Never. I've never. And all the dealings I've ever had with Tom, he told me a long time ago. He said, "Coach, if I can't defend guys like you, I ought to give up my law license." And he's been every time I've had an issue, he's been right there. So, you can be of some help if you want to. You don't have to. You might need it. You might need it someday, Jeff. Now, who knows? You might need it, Estes. You might need it. Come on in, Chad.
Dave, I'm just going to remind folks that Yes, he's working for free, but guess what? Gas is not free. All those legal documents, filings, fees, you have to pay stuff to get there for. Hey, if you lose, contested, you go appeal. That costs money to roll back into that kind of stuff. So this is what it's for. It's not for that, you know, necessarily. So there's all kinds of other stuff that's back there, those hidden fees, the fine print. That's what gets you.
Amen. And Tom is, every time Tom comes to Columbus, it's about two and a half hours for him. Drives up and drives back. And he's going to stay at our house tonight, my house tonight, because he's fighting that there today. And then he has Johnny Tuttle's case tomorrow. Tom's going to stay at our house. Never says, hey, coach, I need $500. Never, ever says it. Hey, Chad, I just, while you're here, man, I just want to, again, publicly, I don't know here if you were here at the beginning, you did an awesome job. And your willingness to serve is inspiring to others, Chad. So I want you to know that we noticed, brother. We noticed. If we lose, it's not because you weren't playing. You were doing all you could. So
thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
You know, just trying to do my part, you know.
Yes, sir.
Just trying to do my part.
Amen. Amen. So, hey, Mike, let's pull John MacArthur up. And I want to play this. As, for those who don't know, John MacArthur has stood the Los Angeles County, I think it is, has tried to shut him down. They threatened him with all kinds of thought. 81 years old. And it is amazing because there aren't many pastors standing with him. They really aren't. Sad. It's really, really sad. So this 4-minute, 19-second clip. There's two things I notice as this thing begins. The people in the pew love him. And the people in the pew are proud that he's fighting. That ought to tell us something, folks. They're proud that he's fighting. And I want you to listen to this, because he's going to give us a list of restrictions that the government put on his church in order to open. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, period. Now, the First Amendment continues on. But the government cannot tell John MacArthur they can't gather. He cannot give them restrictions. The health department has no authority to be able to do that. So I want you to hear this clip of what John MacArthur, who has taught us for 50 years to obey the government, is going to say in this clip. Things change, or times change, or can't remember what he said. And then listen to the charges that they've been demanding his church comply with. Go ahead, Mike.
People are out of control. Wow, thank you. Are you happy to be at church? Okay. Before we begin, the question has come up a number of times about why Grace Church does not just comply with the orders that have been laid down for churches, and I thought it might be helpful to give you the list of things that are required of us as a church so that you understand how utterly impossible that would be. Here are the basic orders. No indoor meetings at all. Pre-registration of every person who comes onto church property. People only allowed on church property for scheduled events. Every person who comes on the property is to be screened and have their temperature taken at the entry. We all must maintain 6 feet of social distance at all times everywhere, including the parking lot and the restrooms. Every other parking space must be left vacant. Marked pathways to maintain social distance keeping people apart, monitored by staff monitors. Everyone always wearing a mask, restroom monitors to control 6 feet social distancing at restrooms, tape on the ground marking distance, signs indicating these mandates, and also full exposure on social media. Restrooms are to be used during the service to minimize the rush. That would be interesting. No hymn books, no communion, no offering containers, no pew Bibles, no singing, no hugging, no shaking hands. Disposable seat covers changed between services. And the services have to be shortened. That's not a problem to me, right? And based upon the separation, we could only meet in the tent with a maximum of 350 to 400 people. You can see that these are the requirements that would completely shut the church down. Anybody who comes in contact with someone outside their family for more than 15 minutes must self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Obviously, this is not constitutional, but more importantly, it goes against the will of the Lord of the church. He calls us to gather. Amen. So look at the person next to you and say, I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you.
Okay, so there you go. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable that the church is bowing to the whims of government. Coach, what was that you said? We lose more games than we ever win. What do you mean by that, Coach? Well, when you don't fight, you lose. Huh? Yeah. The homosexuals, they fight. We don't. They win. Yeah. That's what happens, right? And again, I'm not criticizing John MacArthur. That's been kind of his attitude for 40 years. So the chickens have come home to roost, and thank God he's standing up. And why more churches don't stand up with him is absolutely beyond me. But we've given the government authority over the church that they do not have. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach, his visual there. I'm sorry, Roger, real quick. When that crowd first was just going rowdy crazy, I think he looked up and never saw his church so alive.
Maybe, huh? They want somebody to fight, don't they, Dale? Don't we want our leaders to fight?
Absolutely.
Come on in, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think his position over the years was based on he never thought they would do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
He never thought his government would list 25 things of requirements to be able to go to church.
Right.
And his eyes have been opened that, yes, they will. Yes, they're going to.
Amen. So, Raj, the question we ought to all ask ourselves now is the church more likely to fight today than they were 6 months ago? Have we learned anything from it? What do you think on that, folks? The church more likely to fight today?
I'm going to say the same thing I said about him, and that is for most, unless it touches them and affects them, they are not going to enter the fight, Coach.
That's right.
How's that go, Coach? By the power vested in me by the state of blank man and wife? You should have thought about that then, by the power vested in me by, oh, God. Oh, no, wait a minute. God doesn't count. The state is above God.
Jack, I perform weddings every now and then. By the way, we ordained 3 new guys into the ministry this weekend as well.
Cool.
God bless them. I caught myself, Jack, in doing weddings that you do say that at the end of the wedding, by the power vested in me by the Church of Jesus Christ and the state of Ohio, I pronounce you husband and wife. And I finally woke up and said, what? So I quit that by the state of Ohio thing. But you do know, really, that's why we get married, because of the state of Ohio. That's why we have marriage licenses, because of the state of Ohio. Your word before God in the marriage ceremony, for better, for worse, for richer, and for poor, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, give myself unto you for as long as we both shall live. That's it, man. That's the license. That's the marriage license. Everything else we do to satisfy men, including, dare I say it, ordination. If there's a call on your life to be a, if you want to, let's say Jeff Nell wants to start visiting in the prisons, and he goes to his local prison guy or the jails or whatever, and he wants to get in to minister. Well, they're probably going to say, your credentials, please. And Jeff's got to say, well, you know, I went to 3 years of divinity school and I got a doctor's degree in it. No. Do you have a license? Can you show me that you have a license to come in here and preach the gospel? It's the same thing, right, Jack? It's the exact same thing. So in my mind, an ordination is nothing more than the acknowledgement of a call that's already on somebody's life. If it requires you to be ordained to get a piece of paper to go in and pray with men in jail, I'm all for ordination. Make some people mad. They say, I've cheapened it, yada, yada. Nah, I haven't cheapened it. You're already, somebody help me. Aren't we all ministers of God? Doesn't it already, somebody help me out. Doesn't it already say that deal? Ministers of God? Amen. Aren't we all ministers of God?
Amen. He tells us to all. He says all. Complete the works of an evangelist.
Mm-hmm. But you can't go in if you don't have the state patting you on the back and giving you a stamp saying you can go in and do it. And
we get so many things that we don't even understand. We just regurgitate, like practicing law without a license.
Mm-hmm.
The practice of law cannot be licensed. There is no provision. It's illegal for a lawyer to be licensed to practice law.
Uh-oh. Well, see, the point is, though, folks, this all happened back when God was the central focus of government. There was a time when government was a servant of God. It still is. It's just a stepchild now. It's no longer under God. But if you read Romans 13, pull it up there, Mike. If you read Romans 13, you will find that God himself ordained government. And government is a vehicle by, through, at which God will work. Let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there is no power but of God. Stop. Folks, you don't need to go any farther than that. So if the government is doing something that is not of God, it's illegitimate. This is simple. But back when we formed our government, they were Christian men. And so you trusted Christian men to do the right thing, right? It says the powers that be are what? Ordained of God. Hey, Mike, Webster, go to Mr. Webster for me. What's it mean to be ordained of God? Ordained. We just throw around words. We don't even think what they are. Ordained. Appointed, instituted, established, invested with ministerial or pastoral functions, settled. So, Mike, go back to Romans 13. What's it say? The powers that be are established by God. What? So now we look around and we got God establishing ungodly leaders. Dudes, that ain't the way it works, man. God doesn't establish. God doesn't promote ungodly. He doesn't promote the ungodly. Do you see this? He doesn't. Whoever therefore resisteth the power, what? The power of God. Whoever resisteth the power of God. Why? Because there is no power but God. Do you see that on your screen? There is no power, folks. There is no other power other than God. And whoever resists the power resists the ordinance of God. So what we need to do is, if the guy who is your local sheriff or the guy who is your local, any local official or your congressional rep, if they are violating the laws of God, vamoose, vamoose, because there is no power but of God. Vamoose! You're out of here. Why? For rulers are not a terror to good works. Why are you arresting Alicia? Why are you arresting her? She's praying and trying to rescue babies. So that minister, what? He's a terror to good works. Not supposed to be that. He's supposed to be a terror to evil works. The cop outside Planned Parenthood should be arresting the abortionist. Oh. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? If you are doing evil, you should be afraid. And what we've allowed them to do is redefine good and evil. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Verse 4, for he who, the guy ordained, is a minister of God to thee for good. Abortion good? No, abortion bad. Then he ain't a minister of God. If what he's doing is bad, then he's violated his oath to be a minister of God to good. But if in vain do that which is evil, be afraid. If a guy gets in power and he's evil and he's promoting evil, be afraid. Because he doesn't bear the sword in vain. And so if an evil guy is in power and he's trying to promote evil things, he got a sword in his hand and you better shrug your shoulders because it's coming for your noggin next. For he is a minister of God, a revenger. Wow, think of these words. Mike, what's a revenger? What's a revenger? To execute wrath upon him that does evil. A revenger upon him who does evil. A revenger. I like that word. One who revenges or who inflicts pain on another spitefully in return for an injury. One who inflicts just punishment for injuries. Go back to that word, Mike. That's why I like the King James. King James doesn't have those sissy words in there, those sissy adverbs and adjectives. It has it what? Execute, revenger, to execute wrath upon him that does. You mean like a timeouter? What's that, bud?
You mean like a timeouter? You all get a timeout.
Yeah. We'll be hoping for timeouts, right? So this is where we've gotten wrong, right? We should obey government. But if government obeys God. If God's not obeying government's not obeying God, folks, yeah, don't obey government. Please don't obey. Why? Just read it right there.
Coach, Einstein said it very clearly. Darkness is nothing but the absence of light. And if a government chooses not to have God as the governor, then darkness quickly is in there, and it then turns the table, and everything becomes perverted. Mm-hmm. And that's why we now see who's being punished, the just. Is being punished.
Amen, Dale. That just are being said, wherefore ye must needs be subject. In other words, therefore, if you have to, wow. If you have to be subject, not only for wrath's sake, but also for your conscience sake, punishment is going to keep you straight. Hey, boys and girls, this is why we pay taxes.
Dave.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jesus will ask each of us a simple question. Why didn't you show up? You know?
Yes, sir.
You know, think of right now, there's what, 2 or 3% of the communities are gay. Mm-hmm. You throw in those that support them, probably takes it to 25 to 30% with supporters, liberal supporters. Uh-huh. And when they show up, everything goes in their direction, not just a little. Everything goes in their direction.
They show up because it's life and death to them, Roger.
Yeah. And I think he's going to ask, why didn't you show up?
I think you will too. By the way, Roger's kicked in and helped Alicia and Mike and Johnny Tuttle as well. Roger, I didn't mean to forget you there, man. Appreciate it. So therefore, listen, for this is why we pay taxes. It says pay. I'm looking at my screen over here. I'm sorry. For this cause, pay you taxes, tribute, taxes. Mike, what's tribute? Is it safe enough just to say taxes? Is tribute a tax? Is that the right word? Tribute. An annual or stated sum of money or other valuable thing paid by one prince or nation to another. Wow. Either as an acknowledgement of submission. Wow. Well, you're paying taxes. You're submitting to the government. Or is the price? Oh, my goodness. Hey, this is a good one, fellas. You pay tribute because it's the price of peace. It keeps the IRS off your back, right? Price of peace. You're paying a ransom. A price of peace and protection or by virtue of some treaty. The Romans made all their conquered countries. The Romans made all their conquered countries. Wow. Paid tribute, as do the Turks at this day. And in some countries, they even charge as tribute children. I'm pausing because this is really, really deep. Hey, folks, some of you are paying tribute with your children. A tribute's a personal contribution as a tribute of respect. So you're paying money to your local school because you respect your local school. Is that what it is? Or are you paying that? You paying the enemy tribute, which is your children? And then the third one says a tribute is something given or contrived. Go back to Romans 13, Mike. I didn't mean to do this, but let's ride that horse a minute. So therefore, give tribute to whom tribute is due. If the government is taking money and killing babies with it, are they due tribute? Very simple question. If they're homosexualizing your children in public schools, are they due tribute? Jack, it does say due, doesn't it? To whom it's due. Doesn't that what it says? Render therefore all to all their dues. Dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Oh, fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. I don't honor. Sorry, I don't honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You, Jack? Anybody out there honor Ruth Bader?
But God will wink.
What's that?
God will wink if you're only contributing a nickel a week for abortions.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
God's not going to hold you accountable at a nickel a week.
So, Jack, why are we losing the abortion debate? Is it because the abortionists are winning? No, we're losing. We're just losing because we're not even trying, okay? And then it says, verse 8, don't owe any man anything. Boy, how about that in our interest, our interest, that's not the right word. What's the word for interest, boys? Help me out.
Usury.
Usury. Thank you, Larry. Usury. You owe no man anything. Don't be borrowing money from the bank. So those Romans 13 guys who want us to follow the government, how about if they quit borrowing money to build their churches? When they stop borrowing money to build their churches, I'll start obeying the government, all right? Oh, my goodness. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Hey, what book is that in?
Romans.
Romans. Oh, love one another. That was written to the Christians in Rome.
It was, brother.
Guess what? To love one another doesn't mean love that homosexual trying to pervert your grandchild.
Oh, Larry, you're trying to ruin my show now. You're trying to turn me into a mean guy, and I've been pretty nice today, right? It's pretty nice, huh? Pretty nice. I'm going to pause. Somebody got something to say? I got one more thing I want to jump in here with real quick.
I just want Larry to know I love his flag in the background.
That's right. Larry, you're looking flaggy this morning here, Ben. Okay, one more thing. This is kind of, I'm switching topics on it, but I think it's important. So maybe the rest of you today can do a little bit of time and research on it. Mike, click on Siege White House. Siege White House. They're telling us out there this is going on right now, friends, whether or not we are aware of it. I'll wait till Mike gets it up on the screen. Lord protect the White House from a siege. This is August 13th, 2020. The word is out there that there's going to be an attempt to steal, take over the White House. Folks, listen. No way Joe Biden can ever win. They know that. He can't win. And they're setting us up. Have you guys watched the turnout at Trump rallies? Have you watched the turnout? Have you seen those kind of... Where are the Biden rallies? Anybody seen those crowds? Anybody having a hard time getting a ticket to a Biden rally? So it's very, very clear that the American people overwhelmingly are going to support Donald Trump. They're going to. But they're setting us up. Well, we know the enemy's strategies, it says, so we can prepare both through prayer and in the natural. One of the left's upcoming strategies prior to the election is a plan to take Washington, D.C. hostage in their ongoing coup attempt of our nation. Oh, I get, they'll never do that. They'll never do that. They'll never do that. They'll never pull down statues. They'll never bust windows in New York City and downtown. They'll never do that. They'll never burn up Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're not going to do that. The police aren't going to stand down, let them come in and seize them. No. So we have 50 days from September 17th and November 3rd. The word siege means a military blockade of a city or fortified place to compel it to surrender. Their plan is to form a blockade in Washington, D.C. against the White House to create chaos and lawlessness as they did in New York with Occupy Wall Street. They want to cause a surrender. Folks, you need to read this because part of the plan is on January 20th, 2021, to have no president in place. To muddy up the election process so badly that they won't have all the ballots counted. They won't have January 20th, there will be no president. And when there is no president.
Who the heck wrote this thing, folks?
What's that?
Who wrote this? That thing says, share this article. We need to battle this planned siege in prayer. No, we need to be there and do a counter siege. we can only pray. We can't go there. We're going to lose this. We're going to give it to them because we're not there. You want to do something? Show up. You want to put a siege around the White House? You're going to have to get past me. Why don't we do that? Because there's only six of us. How many are you? Well, it's just us four old white guys. Yeah, that's why nothing gets done.
So, Jack, how did I start out the show? Dave Klontz, forever immortalized in my head. What did he tell me? He says, Coach, talking to me, we're going to lose a lot more games than we ever win. The enemy will win because we lost, not because they won. So this could never happen, Jack. This could never happen. I'm looking at the screen. There's no way that this could ever happen, is there? So we're heading in again to these unbelievable. Mike, one more thing. You got to throw it up on the screen because I hadn't had a chance to get to pull up Mike Adams. And then, Mike, if you can, put this in the chat or wherever we can. This is a wonderful, wonderful article from the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, on the same thing. President Trump promises to put down an Election Day rioting using an insurrection powers. Will he invoke the 14th Amendment powers and remove all the traitors? President Trump has the power to do it. Now, can he do it if the military is not on his side? What did Barack Obama do during the 8 years of his service? Well, he flipped the Pentagon upside down. He put his generals in place. If an insurrection breaks, folks, serious question. If an insurrection breaks out, will Obama's generals support Trump? We have to prepare ourselves for this because the left is stinking demonically crazy. I don't know any other way to say it. Hey, look, the clock's winding down here. Appreciate y'all being here with us. And Let's set in our mind that we're going to win. Let's try to win. Let's win here and now. Let's win here and now. Let's take back what the devil stole. Let's tear down, pluck up, root out, and rebuild. Let's do that. Let's get our eyes off of the rapture, and let's rebuild. And if the rapture comes and we're out of here, well, we will have left something nice for the next crew coming along. But if we don't wake up and do something and think about the insurrection that's right in the midst of us, woe to us. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.